What is up?
What's going on, guys?
Welcome to New Dogs Old Tricks, the podcast for new firefighters. I'm your host, Bryce, alongside Brennan. Just thank you guys for joining us. It's just insane. Huge shout out goes out to one of my best friends, known him since before preschool. He helped produce that kind of intro song that you guys heard to get us started going on there. Michael Stensland, he's also the lead singer of The Astronomers. Right there is one of their albums over there. If you guys haven't heard of them, check them out. From my local hometown, like I said, he's my best friend. It's insane. They got over 800,000 streams on Spotify per month right now. Like, it's absolutely insane how much they're blowing up. So huge shout out to him. Awesome that he helped us out there, and give him some love if you guys want. So, yeah, it's been a long time coming. I mean, Brennan and I, we've been excited for this. It's been insane.
I think this shit just came up from the dinner table, and like, dude, let's just start a podcast right now. So
yeah, much like all the great stuff that comes from the kitchen table at the firehouse, that's exactly what this started. And I mean, coming right off of thanking my buddy here, the outpouring amount of support from everybody has been insane. So we got kind of three big people to thank, companies, everything. First off is going to be Taylor Tins. Our department uses them a lot for a bunch of our stuff, and we just reached out to them on a whim, seeing if they're interested in kind of helping us out. And they're more than happy to send us some plates right there. So we got some street signs with our podcast on it, and so they'd help us out in the future once we get a logo and everything kind of created, if we want any more merch and stuff to kind of show off. So they're insanely helpful with that. And then going right to the logo, we got Jobtown Graphics. We just started working with them on a logo. Our shift, Brennan and mine in Beaver Dam, we created one recently with them, really impressed with it, and reached out to them about creating a logo for this podcast. And he was more than happy to help us out there. So going to be looking for that coming up down the pipe here. Really excited for that. He's got lots of projects. I highly recommend reaching out to him on Facebook if you want to create a logo for any of your reasons. Just he's a busy guy. So
insane. Yeah, we created one for our dive team, our shift. So very, very good at what he does there.
Yeah. Been really happy with his work and everything I got from there. So, and then, I mean, last and certainly not least, just words can't even describe how thankful we are for this guy and his company, but Jeremy Sanders and Crew First Culture, kind of jumping the gun here, but he's going to be our first guest coming in next week. See behind Brennan, he's got there.
Support my guy.
Yep, I got when a challenge comes up there, I got a challenge one that I keep with me. Just met him at a training a couple months back when he came in Fond du Lac, him and Sean Duffy, and just reached out to Jeremy talking about, like we said, this kitchen table idea of having a podcast and knowing that he had one, and he had some just insane advice for us and has been extremely helpful. So words can't thank him enough. We can't wait to get him on the podcast and start talking to him next week, and honored to have him as our first guest. I mean, when we reached out and this was just a whim, an idea that we were throwing out there, like, hey, is that, you think it's a good idea? He was right there to say, oh, I'd love to come on there. And just having him as our first guest is awesome. So we'll talk briefly a little bit about him we talk about all of our guests that we got coming up there, but look forward to hearing them next month. So now with the thank yous out of the way, unless Brennan, there's any other thank yous you want to throw out there, I guess time to introduce yourself. Yeah, again,
huge thank you for Jeremy Sanders and his time. I mean, when Bryce was texting him, he was texting me, I was like, there is no way this guy's texting me right back. He's like another guy at our kitchen table right now, you know? That's just shows you how close the brotherhood is in this job, brother and sisterhood in this job. So huge shout out to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, so I guess now, guys, for those of you who don't know, it's time to hear who you're working with and who you got to listen to for 2 hours or however long these podcasts go. So Brennan, take it away.
Yeah, so my name's Brennan. I started my career young, 14. Kind of growing through school, I was like, yeah, man, that looks badass. I want to do that. So I kind of stuck with it. Started 14 with the department I am in right now as a cadet. I had a cadet program. Very thankful for. Get me started. Gave me a look into the job and all that. I went through the ranks. Got promoted to a junior firefighter, they called it. They basically handed me my pager. Got to go to respond to city fire calls. Was so very awesome experience. I can't thank them enough for that. senior year of high school, I was like, man, I really wish I could get my stuff done and over with. I was like the type of dude just to get it done, get all my certs and all that. So I went to my counselor. I was like, is there any chance I can get to like EMT basic course or a four-year course? Sure enough, I got my EMT basic course. Graduated EMT school before I graduated high school. My senior year. After I graduated my high school, I got hired paid on call with the Beaver Dam Fire Department. Worked for there, and I went down to Milwaukee. And I ran as an EMT basic just to get the experience. I think me and Bryce did, actually. He was down in Milwaukee also. So going through EMT basic, got that done. I was like, man, I had to get my fire stuff done. So I went down to Fox Valley, or up to Fox Valley Tech. Got my first year fire school done. So I got my fire one inspector. I really don't want my inspector, but
we're both going to let that lapse if it was a thing.
Then, the department I am with now, lowered their standard just cause we can't find anyone to hire. So they're hiring firefighter EMTs. So I got to jump on that. Now I'm here, finished my first year of probation, learned a lot through my first year and paid on call year, 2 years. And yeah, I got my paramedic last June. I'm working as a medic now, got through probation. Just here to learn the job now. That was my paramedic course. That was kind of hell. So, but we got it on. And yeah, that's me.
Yeah, one thing about Brennan is he loves being on probation. So
I got the 2 year binder.
he has his part time probation that he just finished to get hired as a full time and go right back on probation. So yeah, he had a 2 year probation there. So
yeah, I kind of had a weird schedule. I got my black shield 1 day, and I was right back to the probationary shield, big orange shield on my helmet. So.
Now it's framed somewhere. Now it's no longer all gone.
Oh yeah, it's framed.
Yeah. So I guess two things I thought about going in there to Warren. You know, I know we checked that little box, but I have no idea what that means when we signed up for the broadcast and thing. But there is going to be some profanity here. Brennan and I may swear like sailors, so we're trying to tone it back. But there's going to be times that it just comes right out. So sorry if that offends anybody. We're trying our best, but we know it's just going to happen when we start talking shop like this. The other thing before I go into my bio is Brennan and I have figured out that we are like the same person. My bio,
it's like my twin brother right here.
My bio basically rivals that of Brennan's. And you're going to be like, are you sure these aren't the same guys? But anyway, yeah. We introduced Bryce Hicken. I started just like Brennan as a cadet. But not in Beaver Dam. I was in town of Fond du Lac Fire Department. So that's a volunteer department in my hometown where I still live in Fond du Lac. My dad was a lieutenant on the city of Fond du Lac, so I knew I kind of wanted to do it from a young age and basically jumped on as soon as I could, which was through the town. So extremely grateful for my time at the town. I started, like I said, at 15 and got my first fire cert at 16. So they put me through entry level A and B. Couldn't really do much until I was 18, but I got to help out on the fire ground as much as I could. So literally, 18th birthday, I already had my fire one. I was just waiting for that timer. Just waiting for that timer to finally kick in. So 18th birthday, I was full member status, and I was a volunteer firefighter and eventually EMR there until this year. So January 1st of this year is when I finally hung it up there. I left as the EMR service director, which was just for like six people. So, and yeah, I was a medic. That was kind of why I got that one. So nothing big there, but they're an amazing department. It was such a good stepping stone. Such you cannot thank them enough for kind of everything that they did to help me go through there. Right after that, I went to Fox Valley Tech. So went through my EMT and all my fire certs. So unlike Brennan, I didn't have that opportunity in high school. So he got the jump on me there, but I got my EMT and my fire certs all within the first year. And then based on the current market, I jumped right into paramedic because that was what everybody was wanting. So went right to paramedic, got that. And like Brennan said, I worked down in Milwaukee at Bell. I was down there for 3 years, two as an EMT, one as a medic, and until I got hired at Beaver Dam. So been here for just over 2 years. I got hired February 1st of 2021. And, you know, like Brennan has said, just learned a lot through my probation, learned a lot through everything, have had the just insane opportunity to be on a lot of special teams. So I'm on the technical rescue team as well as the TEMS team, and just watching the department. We'll talk a little bit about the department kind of right after this, but watching the department grow from just the 2 years I've been there is insane. I mean, it is a young department. To put things in perspective, like I said, February 1st, 2021 is when I was hired. So I have just over 2 years experience there. I am number 11 out of 24 people on the department. So I have 13 people that are underneath me that have been hired after me. It's insane how young it became. And just, I'm so excited to see how the department progresses in the future. So, Brian, anything you thought about throughout the bios? I guess we'll go into talking about Beaver Dam a little bit.
Yeah, let's jump into it.
Yeah, so Beaver Dam is roughly 7,000 citizens that we service. We have a 100-square-mile service area for fire and 140 for EMS, though. We do a lot with our kind of rural surrounding fire departments, EMRs, EMTs, everything there. We have a large mix of city and rural. So the city, the really inner city, is very populated, very dense. It feels like kind of a big town city in the really center of it. And then you just spread out like a mile and you're really into the rural areas. So we got to be well-versed and trained in both our city and rural. And it's kind of, you know, it's really a fun thing to have that kind of mix in there.
Yeah, you get that both worlds.
Yeah, you get that big city, small town vibe. So you really get everything. We have a large amount of intercepts with all our surrounding volunteer agencies. Like I said, we have a very large 140-mile service area, but we are only one of three paramedic services in all of our county, Dodge County. So one of the fire departments is on the way east side, I believe. Yeah, I think I said that right. way east, southeast side of the county, and then the other one's a private ambulance service. So we kind of split our calls between them when it gets to intercepts. But I mean, we are running them constantly, and it's we are trauma heavy. Right? That's the other thing I have down there. It's just
a lot of major highways going through Dodge County.
So. There's a lot of major highways that come right through Beaver Dam and right around the cities where all those volunteer agencies are. And you know, like we said, that mix of city and rural, we get some insane stuff. And Brennan, I think you were on the one, or I don't know if you were on the one that our shift had where the tractor.
You know what? I was on the diabetic call in Fox.
Yeah, so I mean, just tractors falling on top of people. I had people falling out of tree stands, getting caught in tree stands, and then just your normal like vehicle wrecks. It is trauma heavy, and it's kind of fun. You know, everybody always says traumas are fun, and people that aren't a part of the fire service are like, what the hell are you talking about? It doesn't sound fun at all. But yeah. You know, traumas are fun, so it kind of mixes things up, and we got to be really, really well versed. And I think that's something that we're really good at. Especially when you look at that, our nearest trauma center is 45 minutes away by the ground. So we've got our local hospital, Trauma Level 4, or we got a really good relationship with our med flight, our helicopter crew. So we do a lot with them. But you know, these severe traumas, it's either a ground pound or taking them by bird. Like they got to get somewhere.
We got an hour with them.
Yeah, we got a lot of time with these trauma patients, and it can be intense. We get, like I said, we get a lot of them, and they can be some pretty insane ones. There's an Amish community we got around there. We've had a couple involved with them. It's very, very huge mix of calls, and it's kind of really, really cool. It makes the job even more interesting than everybody knows it already is. So, the other thing about Beaver Dam that makes it really enjoyable to work at is it is very unique. So we have rotating positions. So basically we have firefighters, lieutenants, and captains. Those are really the only three ranks. There's, you know, some are AEMTs, some are EMTs finishing up medic right now, some are medics, like, you know, there's different things like that. But those are basically the only fire ranks, because when you come in, we have a rotating schedule. So we have 8 people maximum on a shift, 6 man minimum, and you just rotate through the cycle each day. So everyone from the probie to the captains ride the box, which is kind of insane. But you just go on a rotation. So, you know, one day I come in, I'm probation, I was driving the ladder truck. So like one day I come in, I'm driving the ladder truck. Next day I'm tailboard on the ladder. Next day I'm tailboard on the engine. Then I'm driving the engine. Then I'm on the ambulance. Like it's just stuff like that. It makes things really fresh. I think it prevents that burnout that people get on the ambulance, because we know 90% are BS. So, It is really interesting coming into it. It was something I hadn't really heard of. And it's kind of really cool. And I really enjoy that aspect of it, among other things. So, you know, Brennan, you got anything to add?
No, man, that pretty much sums it up. You get to learn every job on the fire ground. That's what I love about it. I mean, I just got probation. I was riding officer seat. As today I'm riding off. Well, I didn't really. I kind of stole the or handed off my MPO because, you know, I don't really like driving. But
yeah,
but you know, it's very get to learn everyone's job. So I think that's a very cool aspect of our department. So
yeah. Yeah, and I'm going to touch on it a little bit later when we talk about some of our advice because it ties into it. But I think a really cool thing that comes with that is kind of like what Brennan said, that we gave up that MPO, is, you know, as young guys, we don't necessarily want to be MPO. Like, it's cool that we get to be. It's cool that we get to drive the aerial, drive the engine and stuff. But, like, we want to go inside, right? We want to go in the fires. You get some of the senior members, they're past that stage, right? They really would rather drive the engine and stuff like that. So it opens up that ability where, you know, you can have a really senior guy who's very aggressive, wants to go inside the fire, and they are all, like, more power to them. They're absolutely able to because they're in the same rotation. But you can have one as well that maybe, you know, not feeling too hot or just, you know, kind of sick of going inside, which, you know, 30 years in the job, that can do it to anybody. And they just want to, you know, want to pump. And, you know, you make that swap, you're okay with the lieutenant, with the captain, and it's, you know, you're good to go. And it's just, I think it makes it very fresh. It makes you able to basically do what you want to do. And it's very, very kind of cool with that aspect.
Yeah, for sure.
Going right into, you know, more uniqueness and kind of what basically inspired this and allowed this to progress is we are heavily training focused as in Beaver Dam. We don't have like any stuff really to do on the computer. We, you know, we have our yearly fire rescue, the bloodborne path, and don't touch icky. It's not yours and stuff like that. But like that's basically the extent of it. So it's extremely crew led and training focused. Kind of example that I can give is on our shift. Our captain just now, it starts actually tomorrow or 2 days, whenever our next shift is. We have a training schedule, and my captain knows that myself, Brennan, one of our other fellow firefighters love to teach and love to train and love all our stuff and have a lot to share and offer. And I made it so that there's now a training schedule where we come up with our own lesson plan. So each day, either the lieutenant or the captain has a lesson plan for either the morning or afternoon. And then it's one of us three, one of the more, which is, this is crazy to say, but one of the more senior firefighters on the shift, you know, with our combined 3 years of full-time experience, the senior members on the shift, we get to come up with the training and run the training. So it's just, it makes things awesome. When we have ride-alongs, when we have new guys, like, we get to just bring them in and be like, oh, you haven't thrown a ladder, you haven't VES, let's go out and do it. Like, it's just, it makes things really awesome, makes the day go by quick, and is able to, you know, keep us up on our skills. So it was really, really fun to do. Yeah, what do you got to add on that, Brennan?
No, like you said, I mean, we're really, really trained. I mean, we like to hit, like, hard training day.
From the yard?
From the yard. Trying to prevent that, okay?
Not gonna go down that rabbit hole already.
I'm not gonna yell about that one today. But yeah, we're out there sometimes even until 11 o'clock at night. I mean, they're newer members, they're in paramedic school, so they're gone during the day. So we gotta teach them somehow. So all the whole shift stays up, even if it's EMS, we're going over something.
Time to train with Nerf guns. That's always a
that happens occasionally. But yeah, like Bryce said, really training oriented. It's got that mindset of let's get some stuff done.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, like the other thing to kind of add off that, like when Brennan said, a lot of our new guys, but the probation here is really still, again, like, unique. I keep saying everything's unique about it, but it really is, you know. Like most places you go, right or wrong, as a probie, you know, you're the absolute lowest of the low, and you got stuff to prove. Like, you know, you're always the one who's doing everything. You're not sitting in the recliners, you're cleaning all the toilets, you're doing all the checks. Like, you know, there's a stigma in the fire service that it was always the probie that kind of pounded. And some departments still maintain that, some don't. It's all part of your culture. And, you know, some places, some people love it, some people don't, whatever it is. Here, it's very much not like that. It's very much, as long as you show up and you want to be there, you are included in one of the guys. I love telling the story, but our lieutenant, he, one day we had one of our newest guys here and it was like 10 o'clock. It was well past duty day. He wasn't even working. He was staying overnight because he had shift the next day and he wanted to drive all the way home. But he was a new guy. We were all sitting in the recliners watching a movie as a shift, like we always try to do every night. And he was standing in the kitchen and he wouldn't come and sit down. And myself, Brennan, we're sitting over here. We're yelling at him, come sit in the recliner. He's like, no, I can't do that. Like I'm probation. I can't sit in the recliner. My lieutenant got up from his chair, walked over to him, threw him on his shoulder and threw him into the recliner. Like just stuff like that. Like it's just silly. Just like, you know, as long as you're a good guy, you want to be there, good guy or gal, you want to be there and you give effort. You're one of us like that. You don't have any much more to prove than us than that you want to be here. And that's just kind of the thing. There's the little things you got to pick up. Like, you know, if there's an ambush shift that needs to be jumped or something, like, you know, there's still that stuff here and there that as a probation member, you're expected to do, but it's not anything that I'd ever seen or compared it to. So it kind of adds to the whole camaraderie and kind of family feeling that you get being there. And I mean, last I'll throw in there, is just like our officers, I think are some, you know, pretty great ones. They're all very aggressive. Very, like I said, it's a young department. So everybody kind of flew up in promotion. We had from the 2 years that I've been there, there is a new officer in every position than when I was hired. So there is not the same chief, deputy chief, captains, or lieutenants than when I was hired than what I am right now. So there was a huge change. Everybody's young. So, you know, everybody's got their stuff to do, but everybody's trying to get out there and join the crews and train with the crews and be there. And it's kind of really, really enjoyable and fun to see. And really helps build that trust that you have in your crew members and helps build that trust that those officers have in us as the firefighters, as what we can do when we get on a fire scene and what they can send us in to do, and feeling that confidence. So.
Yeah. That's all I got about that. Yeah. I think it's very important not to bash on that probie, because I feel like if the probie has a say, I mean, we can work together and figure out a solution.
Yeah.
And we can work close in hand. I mean, they got a lot to share too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm just coming out of probation. I mean, my officers listen to me. They're like, oh, what are you thinking? I was like, you want to know what I think? You know, that puts more pressure on the probie, is like, go out and train and go out and learn. So you can, when you're asked these questions, you know the answer, or you can give some input. I mean, that's how we all learn.
Yeah.
Just from our failures.
Absolutely.
I was just shocked. I was like, I don't even got much to say, but this is what I know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we can't say enough about that department, but this ties right into kind of what we were talking about, how New Dogs Old Tricks formed. But I gotta, you know, shout out and talk about our training program right now. Like the amount of the lucrative training that we get to be there, the amount of training that we get paid to go to. Like, I'm not going to get into the actual gritty details of anything because it can get a little confusing. But basically, like, if you either got coverage or if the shift is full and you find a training, you can go to it. Like, you submit it, it gets signed off, has to get signed off there by our training captain and our deputy chief. But off duty, you get paid to go to it 99% of the time. And on duty, like I said, as long as if the shift's full, you get to leave without using any of your time. If the shift has, if maybe you got to find some for coverage, everybody on the department is super, super kind of able to and willing to cover for you to go to training or even just cover you to take a day. Like, I mean, trade, stuff like that. It's just, it's a real big family, really good atmosphere there. And it's really been kind of impressive and kind of fueled this to start. I mean, I'll go right into our next segment about it. Brennan and I are extremely aggressive in our training. And like Brennan briefly mentioned there, I know I just talked about, like, even as probationary members, you're encouraged to all these trainings. I mean, you were never shunned for wanting to go to anything more. You never looked down on for going to more trainings. Like, it was a great thing. Our chief came in, he was a new hire about a year and a half. And, you know, changed one thing to make it even more rewarding to go to more trainings, which was just, it was insane. You didn't think that it could get any better, and then, you know, it got even better. And just it's kind of like I keep saying, it's what formed this and what formed this idea to even start, because going to all these trainings, meeting all these people, talking to all these people, you realize really how much is out there. I mean, you stay at your own department, whether it's a big department or really things in Wisconsin, whether it's Milwaukee, Madison, Oshkosh, Appleton, any of those big departments, or little departments like Beaver Dam. Like, if you stay at your department, you're going to get tunnel vision. You're going to get locked into how your department does it, how, you know, your senior members do it, how you think things should be done. You go to all these trainings, you find out there's 84 different ways to skin a cat. Like, you know, you're always finding out all these things and you're trying these new things that you take back to your department and you figure out, yeah, this shit works for us, or no, this shit is stupid. We're never going to use this again in our life. Like, but that's what happens. It's always about learning and being a student of the craft and getting all that in. So that was really what formed this and what got this was Brent and I both listened to podcasts, go to trainings and everything. And there just wasn't something like this. Everybody that starts a podcast, they bring one in, they bring a lot, and they share experiences, which that's what you need to do. You know, you can't let that stuff go. And that's in the very base layer. That's what we are still doing here. But what we really want to do is, because, you know, we don't have all that experience, you know, like we said, 3 years combined full-time experience, mind you, we started young, but we want to ask those questions and hear those experiences from them as new firefighters, not just like as, hey, this is how many calls I went on. This is the coolest one I've been on here. Like, we still want to hear that. There's still always a place for that. But we wanted to have something where this fire service that became young overnight, I mean, it just insanely young, has a way to ask those questions and get those answers from some of these senior members who are on their way out the door and who maybe don't know that these questions need to be answered or even are going to be asked and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think of this job like a construction worker. You know, you have that foreman, you're the grunt worker, okay? You're shoveling stuff, and you want to learn how to be that foreman. So you go to that foreman, you want them to teach you everything. That's kind of how you put the fire service. I want to go to the senior man or girl and learn from them, because they've been through it. They got the experience. They've been on those calls. I want to learn from them. That what works, you know. So yeah, that's kind of what our podcast is all about, you know, not really sharing, but receiving information, training, those experiences, so I can take them with me. You know, if I or when I have those calls, I know what to do and how to act.
Yeah. I mean, I mentioned it, being a student of the craft. Like, you hear that quote thrown around all the time, and there's not any more truth to it. I mean, One of my favorite quotes to do when I'm helping teach up in Appleton is, like, the only dangerous firefighter, medic, whatever it be, the only dangerous public safety servant is the one that thinks they know it all. Because, you know, one of my instructors up at that tech when I was going through medic, one of his favorite quotes is, you know, he thinks he's seen it all, right? He can always think that he's seen it all, but he knows that his last day on the job, he could have something he had never seen before. Like, you will get to a part 30 years on the job, you will think you've seen it all. But as long as in that back of your mind, you know you haven't, or that you can improve on those things that you think you've known, you know, you've done something for 29 years, and your last 30th year of the job, a new study comes out, a new tactic comes out, something comes out that betters that. Not going, well, I've done this for 29 years, and I've, you know, it's been fine. But going, what changed? Why did it change? And how can I change to better, you know, adapt and take that stuff?
Or evolving.
Yeah, you're never going to learn it all. You really never want to think you know it all, because you're never going to. Like, that's just the fact of the matter of it. We deal with people. You know, we deal with people and we deal with fire. Like, two things are extremely inconsistent. We can always plan for something. We can expect how they react, but both can throw things in a total left
exactly.
turn.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's. And the nuts and bolts, that's why we came up from it. So, I mean, like Brennan said, we're going to be bringing a lot of guests on here. This first episode, we wanted to just kind of talk to you guys and introduce ourselves and let you know what to expect. I threw it out in the beginning. We're roughly estimating we want to have like a 2-hour length. This one's probably not going to reach that, just because it's us two and we don't have much to bullshit about, because, you know, we're stupid. But
I was a first year guy.
Oh. Yeah. But no, we wanted to reach out and get some out there and just, you know, introduce ourselves and talk. But that's we are so excited for this. I mean, everybody that I've talked to, everybody that's agreed to come on our podcast has given us advice and everything. I've told every one of them, the selfish thing about me is I don't care if one person watches this, two people watch this, or six people watch it. Like, I get to talk to these people. You know, Brennan and I, we get to talk to these, like, people. We
I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, like, I don't care if nobody's watching this. Of course, we love and want it to reach out. That's the whole reason that we decided to go to this instead of just, you know, trying to reach out to people, have some beers, drink, you know, and have some bullshit sessions there. Like, we want this to reach people, wants this to reach those that have those questions that either don't feel like they can ask them with their current situation, just don't want to ask them, don't want to, you know, no such thing as a stupid question, but somebody always finds one. Like, you know, that's you don't want to do something like that, or even you said, yeah, the stupid questions.
I just ask questions. Yeah. Some are I learn from, and some I don't. You know?
Yeah. No, I mean, newest firefighter all the way to, I mean, a senior firefighter one day left on the job could listen to this, and there could be a question that he didn't ask when he was a probationary member that's been eating at him for 30 years. Like, whoever it be, if you got questions, we're gonna want to hear them. So, you know, today that we're recording this, it's April. This is going to be the episode for May. We're going to be announcing Jeremy Sanders coming up today. And it's going to be a month of you guys to send in questions. And then next, you know, we'll have our next guest. We'll have there, and we'll give that month in advance and want you guys to send in your questions either through Facebook on the actual post you can comment on, DM, Instagram DM, or Facebook DM. Email, we'll have our email linked in there. Like, if you guys got questions, send them in. Either if they're personal questions, you know the person, or just questions you want us to throw in and ask. We'll have them down. We'll get those answers. We're gonna have our own. That's kind of the plan of this thing, is we're gonna ask those questions and ask your guys' questions. So whatever you guys come up with, whatever you want.
The whole point of this, we want to learn together. We want to grow as the fire service in America, right?
Absolutely. Well said. All right. Well, going off of that, now that you guys know what it is, we're going to announce the rest of our guests for the year. Obviously, it is April. By the time you're seeing this, May. So we're already halfway through the year, so we don't have, you know, 12 guests. But we've got some pretty heavy hitters here, so just insane. First off, we've said his name probably 16 times already, and I guarantee he's going to...
I'm going to give him 16 more chances.
He's going to be mentioned in basically every episode because it's just insane how much help he's been. How excited we are to have him. But we got Jeremy Sanders, captain of Tulsa, Oklahoma Fire, kind of, I guess, creator of Crew First Culture. He's got his own podcast, Crew First Culture Podcast. Check that out. And just insane. Can't wait to talk to him. There'll be more of a bio on each person each month when we're released on Facebook. So if you guys don't know much about him, want to hear more about each as we go down this list, look for that. Look for that month in advance. Next up after that, we've got Thomas McMiniman, better known as Blatz. Blatz was on Milwaukee Fire. He was a lieutenant there. And now we are lucky enough to have him in Beaver Dam as a paid on call. So he was a lieutenant, dropped down to a firefighter, paid on call with us. And just insane to get to have him on calls and have a guy like
that. I learned more from Blatz in 5 minutes than I do in a whole 30-minute lecture at school.
Honestly,
I mean he has a story for everything.
He's seen everything.
I love talking to Blatz.
Yeah, it's just he's seen some insane stuff. I mean, he'll talk about Milwaukee down there. Like Brett and I, we both walked down and we got to see a glimpse of it, but we saw in 2-3 years what, you know, he had 20. I'd be guessing if I said exactly how many, but over 20 years of experience down there of dealing with, like, it's crazy the stuff that you can run into down there. It really is a different world. After that, we've got Kenny Hayes, captain on Boston Fire Department. Kenny Hayes came out to Beaver Dam, was one of the instructors. I was able to partake in the IFF Fireground Survival Course. Awesome course. Absolutely insane. When you talk about not building or not thinking that you can build anymore on the basics, that course broke that all down. I mean, there was skills that I've done that I was shown in Fire 1 that I thought were the basics of the basics, and that this course came in and was like, hey, yeah, you could do this, but it's much better. Like, here's a better way to do this. Here's a better way to survive. Here's a better way to do that. And I mean, Kenny was just, he was amazing. It was so much fun to listen to him, talk to him. And I, much like all these guys, I reached out on a whim, and he was more than happy to join. So I know he's got some insane stories to share and lots of advice to give. Next, we'll have Sean Duffy, firefighter in Ann Arbor, Michigan. He came in, like I mentioned earlier, he was with Jeremy Sanders when it came to that training in Wisconsin. He gave his searchable versus survivable training. That was amazing. It was so cool, so awesome to listen to. Brian and I took a lot back from there, back to our department. Yeah. Very knowledgeable dude.
What were you gonna say? Cut you off. He's very knowledgeable.
Yeah.
I can't say the word, but yeah, I learned a lot on that dude and his presentation. It put a whole new mindset that I have now and currently. So very good dude to listen to.
I want to throw a side note in here. I think everybody will learn as we keep going with this podcast. Brennan has a fantastic, I guess I just want to call it condition of mispronouncing words.
Oh, yeah. And, barely speak English.
I should honestly take notes and write down each word because it is hilarious. So I can't wait to see how much it is in there, but it's Eligible. So much fun. Yeah, you got to know. But it's something of fun on shift with, and so I slipped through there. So we should start a running a list of how all the mispronunciations we get. It's but yeah, I mean, Sean Duffy is insane. He's got his own podcast, Make Do. Check that out. It's insane. Great podcast to listen to as well. Yeah, that's all we got for him right now. Like I said, we'll have more bio when we get everybody on there. After that, we've got our very own Wes Yonke. He's a captain in Beaver Dam with us right now. I was on his shift for a couple months before we moved to Brennan's. Fantastic guy. Got a published article in the fire service. So love hearing that or talking about that. But he's an extremely, extremely humble guy. I mean, he's insane. That's why I'm joking about it. I love that we're throwing around that he's got a published article. But he is an extremely humble guy and a fantastic leader. Great guy to learn from. Got a lot of stuff that he can offer and get into. So excited to have him on there as well. Kind of second to last, we've got Jim Knowles, who is the current assistant chief of training in Fond du Lac Fire Rescue. So that's my hometown. So my dad just retired last month or 2 months ago as a lieutenant there. But he is assistant chief of training, just was voted last year's instructor of the year for Wisconsin. He's a fantastic guy. So much knowledge that he has in there. Lots of stuff that he'll have to share for us, and really excited to talk to him and get him on there. I've known him for a very, very long time. So really, really excited to get him on there. And then kind of the end of that, the last podcast of the year is going to be this bullshittery again. So it's going to be us two.
Not much to look forward to, but we got it.
Yeah, what a way to close out the year. These two idiots fucking talking again. Yeah, so every year we plan, we'll have basically 11 guests, like I said, short year, obviously. And then we'll close it out with Brennan and I sitting here bullshit. And we'll kind of highlight our best pieces of advice that we learned from the year. We'll share some calls, some advice that maybe we've gotten in that year as we continue to grow and become experienced firefighters. And just kind of set the tone for next year. So hopefully my plan is to have each year roster basically set by December of the following or previous year. So that come December, we can do basically this and let you guys know who you're going to be listening to next summer or next year. So you can start thinking of those questions and start, you know, getting those stuff running and reaching out to us. So that's our roster for the year. I mean, it's crazy. It's insane. We talked about at the start, the fact of how many people have reached out. We've reached out, they've responded to us and wanted to be a part of this before we recorded our first episode. Like, this is it right here. Yeah. This is the first episode.
We're living
right
the
here.
Dream right now. Like,
and we have all of these guys lined up, all these people lined up. It is just, it's insane. I can't wait for this to continue to grow. Like I said, selfishly, if it doesn't get past 2 viewers, I really don't care because I get to talk to all these people and I get to ask them questions myself. So I really hope that, you know, we reach the people that really want to hear about it, but I can't wait. I can't wait to see where we go with this. So extremely exciting year. Really exciting way to close it out. Can't wait to get going. I am already setting that timer. I can't wait for next month talking to Jeremy. And then I'm just hoping that it just keeps going. I mean, this last month when we set this date as our recording day, this last month, seeing all the outpouring and support and everything. I know Brennan said it a couple times. Like, why don't we just record now? I'm like, I know, like we should, but you know, we gotta keep on that schedule. We gotta get there because otherwise we would have recorded and we'd have had like a 2 month gap. So no, we've been counting this down. It's been insane. We can't wait. Really excited to get this going. So really, really happy about that. Basically kind of the last part of it, we got a couple more things in here that we're going to throw is we're going to give a little bit of our advice that we have grabbed in our short years. So Brian's going to talk about some trainings. I'm going to talk about some trainings and we'll throw in a couple pieces of advice typically that we've heard from other people. We're not smart enough to come up with our own.
Coming from a probie on a 2 year binder, right? You know, it's probably paid on call and full time.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm an all-star probie here, but, some good advice I have. I mean, this my senior firefighter, my shift, he now went to Oshkosh now, but he always said, train like you respond to your own family that's in need. And you know what? I was thinking that. I was like, yes, I want to be proficient. I want to know everything. So that kind of sit with me.
Yep. Be the one that you want showing up to your home.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. I mean, if if your child codes in front of you or is a PMB, you better know what the hell you want to do.
Or is trapped in a fire. Like that's
or trapped in a fire. I was like, yeah, exactly.
Fucking, all right, soapbox for 2 seconds. I mean, come on. Like, you've got...
I want the best people.
I don't got kids. I've got a cute, adorable dog who's laying here on her back with her belly up here sleeping the day away, and another crazy psycho dog over there. But, like, even my dogs, my family, my sister, whatever, my family's inside that building. I would never write that off. I would always want to get in there. I'd always want to see. I would always want to make sure I give it my very best. That's just what you got to do.
Exactly.
Give it your very best. Try your goddamn hardest. Like,
that's what you got to do. I came from JD Ducharme. He'd be hopefully on here one day, but he is very knowledgeable.
Yeah. I believe he's scheduled to be the first one of 2024. So that's going to be a great way to start it off is right now.
Very knowledgeable dude. I learned a lot from him on shift.
Yeah. Great guy.
And there's a couple things. I mean, if you don't know anything coming into the job, go down the truck bay. Be the first one down there and go through trucks. I mean, I think that's the best thing to learn. If you don't know what it is, you can A, mess with it like I did. I messed with it until I figured it out. Or if I didn't
is that
know,
why
I
just, all the saws were broken?
Yeah, probably. I'd probably drop a couple. What the hell is this? But no, if you don't know it, ask somebody. I mean, especially on my shift, I ask somebody and they're down here for 2 hours going through the whole thing. I was like, man, God, I can rebuild this thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. I mean, I didn't think those are the two most ones I have.
Yeah. Know your job space. Know your job space. That's what it is. I mean, you don't want to be in that position, because trust me, I've been there. And, I did it to myself. Like I said, I was volunteering in the town of Fond du Lac. I could hear, like, you mix trucks up. And it's a shitty feeling when you're on scene and you've got, like, a critical call, whether it be an accident, a fire, whatever it be. And someone's like, hey, go grab this for me. And you go up to the door, open it up, and you're like, oh, shit. It ain't in here. Like, maybe everybody isn't. But you feel like everybody's watching you right now. Look at this empty compartment or this compartment going, that's not where the fuck that is. Like, it's a shitty thing. It delays your response. It delays your proficiency in helping those people. So knowing your workspace, knowing your truck, it's such an easy thing. I mean, you got 15 minutes, an hour, whatever it be on probation. And even newer, I mean, one of our senior firefighters on there, when I was on his shift, he talked about all the time that, you got your new guys that don't know where shit is because they haven't ever learned it. You got your senior guys that forget where stuff is because it's moved 6 times since they've been here. And like, there's some truth to that too. Like, you got to always, student of the craft, you hear that all the time. You always got to be knowing and training and figuring out where that stuff is. Cause yeah, muscle memory kicks in. Maybe something's been there for 15 years. It just got moved last year. And you certainly have that same shitty feeling of, oh, it's not here. Like, where is it? So, I mean, knowing your trucks, that's such an important thing. So yeah. Brennan, you want to touch on your best training?
Yeah, one of my best trainings, probably throw this one every podcast, but best training I by far went to is the FDTN in Indianapolis. It's a fire department network training. So these guys from big city departments, they come down, train. It's live fire for 3 days. I mean, it's like going to Disney World for firefighters. I mean, it is the best training you're going to get in the fire service. No doubt about it. I learned a lot. I mean, I went there not knowing as much as I do now. And I came out like a whole new
firefighter. You went there not knowing shit.
Exactly. Nothing. Shit bag. But I learned a ton. It was awesome training. So that's one that if you have the chance to go to, I highly recommend that one.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I'm going to try to get in there every year. They fill up, spots fill up quick, but I hope to get down there again.
Yeah.
Just some of the other classes. I did the fire ground survival class. I mean, we went through RIT, self-rescue, basement fires, hoarder fires. I mean, it's nonstop, 8 hours a day, live fires. So it's awesome.
yeah, everything you got to share for there for your piece of advice right now. And,
yep.
All right. So, I mean, I'll jump into mine. So I will talk about, you know, the best trainings I've been to so far. I'm actually going to mention two of them, for two totally different reasons why I'm going to hit them. Like I mentioned earlier with Kenny Hayes, the Fireground Survival. So that's put on by the IFF. They came in Beaver Dam. We've now have a trailer. So we haven't been able to, we've been focusing on getting our current, all of our members through the course. But myself, as well as I believe at this point, four other, but at the time, six other, people went through this course to be trained the trainers. So we're certified trainers for the IFF Fireground Survival. And that course was insane. It's so cool. So impressive of how you can build on those basic skills. It really is all about self-survivability. So it's all about knowing your equipment, knowing your gear, using those basic skills to give yourself a fighting chance. You know, that was one of the lead instructors' biggest thing is they haven't and they never want to see any of the people that have taken their course be in the news as, you know, giving up. You know, as they're found inside, they gave up, whatever it be. Like, they want anybody who's in one of these situations to go down swinging. Like, use every tool that they've been trained, that we've been learned through in here. So that was a 5-day course. And we're getting all of our members through it now, which is awesome. I love that our department did that and made that decision. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. Hopefully, as soon as we get all these members in there, we can start going out to all these surrounding departments and offering this course. Like I said, it's a 5-day course, so it gets a little hard. We got to break it up into other things to really give it to these volunteer departments and stuff. But such a good course, such an amazingly, I highly recommend if anybody has that course come to them, around them, or if your department's big enough that you want to host, like we did, the Train the Trainer. It's so cool. Currently, we have the only trailer in Wisconsin. The closest one was in Indianapolis, I believe, before we got the trailer. So it was something, you know, well needed up in this area. And I can't wait to get it out there and kind of do some of that training for all these surrounding departments. So that was really cool. And that was really cool building the skills. The other one I want to talk about was done by Blue Fire Training in Minnesota, Search School. I think that's what they called the name. I don't know if there really was an official name. It was just kind of what they were going over at the time. But really what got me from there is majority of the like instructors and people that run the course, they were volunteer firefighters. And, you know, there's always this big stigma of volunteer versus career and everything. But in my eyes, you know, a firefighter is a firefighter. But the one thing you hear a lot in the fire service and these smaller rural volunteers, career departments, whatever it be, is, you know, we don't get those big grabs. We don't make those saves. That's for big city things. And so what made it so cool about this training was there was one of the instructors there as a volunteer firefighter. And I'm hoping to reach out to him, see if he'd come on our podcast next year. But I'm not going to steal his thunder, show any story. Basically, he made a VES grab of a child earlier that year before he was doing this training. So, I mean, it was a volunteer department. It wasn't even his first duty. He was on a mutual aid. And he went up there and he made the grab. Like a small podunk volunteer department made a grab of a child through VES. Like that was awesome to hear and such a good thing and good like twist to learn from that and learn from that side again, because coming from, you know, being a volunteer, like you hate hearing that. You hate people say, that only happens in big cities. That never happens here. Like fire is fire, man. Yeah. It can happen.
You're in the same atmosphere.
Yeah. It was great. It was very, very similar things of building on the basics, but just the atmosphere and learning from kind of a mix of what you typically do. It was really cool and really really a good training. I really recommend it. So I know Blue Fire Training does a lot of trainings. I've seen them post a lot of stuff on there, and I think they do tier a lot of it towards volunteers. So it's kind of a cool opportunity for anybody to reach out and look at. Yeah, that's kind of the trains that we've been to so far that I really love. I threw a little note in here. I want to kind of shout out and talk about the ones that we are really looking forward to coming up this year. And that is Sawdust City Fire Expo. That's being held in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. It's insane. Awesome that we're getting something like that in Wisconsin. Really hoping that continues to grow and be a really cool training. But looking at the lineup and everything, I'm really excited for that. So that's coming up pretty soon, actually. And that's end of this month. Yeah. So really, really excited for that. It's going to be really cool.
Party her up. Learn from the best.
Absolutely. Yeah, so that's really exciting one to go to. And then obviously I'm sure everybody's heard, but Into the Job, which Brennan and I we're going down to that in August.
I'm stoked.
We can't wait. Absolutely going to be so cool. Going down there, hoping to get some connections, maybe do a ride along down there, just learn for some fantastic firefighters. Hell of a good firefighters. But yeah, so looking forward to those. Can't wait to, those will be things that we'll be able to share at the end of the year and that kind of year in review, some things we learn from there. So it's kind of another aspect of it. And though that year in review is show anything really that we learned outside of this podcast. But I guess going into my little pieces of advice, if you want to call them that, I'm going to quote, as you can see behind Brennan, Crew First Culture, Jeremy Sanders. Love the quote. It's on the challenge coin. I carry a challenge coin with me wherever it is, mostly because I don't have another Beaver Dam one. So I'll have to juggle or carry two once I get another Beaver Dam one. But I like that display, and I love the message on the Crew First one. So stay humble and do work. I think that's just simple. I mean, that's how you got to do it in the job. That's how you got to do it. Stay humble. You're never going to know it all. You always got to, you always got something to learn, got something to prove. Like, you always got to be humble and just do work. I mean, Show up, do work, go home, repeat. Like that. I mean, go home to your family. That's what you're fighting for. That's what you're earning your paychecks for. That's who you're supporting. But when you walk in those doors, you're doing work. Like, that's your family. We always talk about, you got two families. When you're at work, that's got to be your family. You always want to make it home to them, but you want to make sure that your family, your work family, makes it home to their family as well. Like, that the families that you get called to, everything is just family. Like, this job is family. Everything about it is family. It's always getting to your family, protecting family. Like, so just staying humble, doing work, so you're always there. I love that. I love that saying. So simple. Got on the flag, Brennan. I love that. Gave Brennan that flag. Love that flag.
Background. Staying there.
The other kind of, it's going to sound weird. It's not a piece of advice. It's one of my favorite quotes, but I got some advice to throw into it. But best job I ever had from the movie Fury. Got a sticker on my helmet. I love that because I feel like people forget about that. Like you come in, you get to work, and there's days that it does just feel like a job. And there's a lot of people that maybe they treat it like a job, right? Like, I mean, you can't really fault them. It's how they're supporting money. It's how they're putting food on the table. But at the end of the day, if you always remember and fight that this is literally the best job you've ever had, you're going to do everything you need to do. I mean, coming to work with a smile on my face, I'm excited for the day. I literally, to this day, driving in, as soon as I hit that water tower in Beaver Dam coming in 151, I get a fucking smile. I get a fucking smile on my face. Cause I start thinking about like the last shift or a significant call we had or a fire, whatever it is. I'm like, this is my job.
Like, you do this stuff.
I'm getting paid to do this. Like, like what? Like, especially because that water tower is right by this big like business complex with all these cubicles and shit. It's got all these windows you see in, and you see all these people like walking in there, 9-to-5 cubicle job, and you're like,
that's a slave right there.
This is my job. Like, I get to do all this shit. I don't got that.
I got to do all the community.
Yeah, I love it. It's literally best job I ever had. I love that saying. Love it. Absolutely love that movie. Love the saying, got it on my helmet. It's just, I feel like there's so much that actually goes into that. If you truly believe that this is the best job you ever had. And then I guess my only actual true piece of advice is just stay motivated and fill your role to the best of your ability. So like we kind of talked about earlier with Beaver Dam, that's why I love our setup and our position rotation, because like we talked about, you've got that opportunity. If you either feel like you're better at MPO, or you don't feel that you're, better suited to be on the pipe right now, you need to be MPO, whatever it be, we have that flexibility. Like, senior firefighter, you put in your time. If you got 25 years on and maybe you can't hump hose as well as you used to be able to, or whatever it be, and you prefer to pump, man, that's on you. And if you're going to pump, be the best damn pump you're going to be. Like, that's all it is. Like, you fill your role as best as you possibly can. As long as you do that, I mean, that's it. That's all it takes. That's all the job really entails.
Show up and learn.
Yeah. All right. Last section, we're going to try and do this with every guest. It's going to be dependent on how much time we have and everything here. Guarantee you we're not going to fill up a whole hour of this section, because I actually don't have anything written down. I don't know if Brian has anything. But is the kitchen table. So everybody knows all world's problems are solved at the fire department's kitchen table, right? So,
oh yeah,
more often than not, you know? World problems are solved. Everything's bitched about. You get all the solutions. All the camaraderie sits at the kitchen table. But that's essentially what we're gonna have the kitchen table be. You know, it's gonna be at the end of each of our segment. If somebody's got 15 minutes, they got an hour, whatever it be, just to bullshit, just to share experiences. You know, talk about, you know, cool calls, talk about some that maybe throughout the podcast, there's some that you want to take note on, want to talk about, and just kind of fill it up. So that's kind of where we are here. I'm sure I can think of some bullshit. I don't know. You got anything off the top of your head, Brennan?
Not off the top of my head, no, but if he throws something, I don't know.
All right. My input on it. Talk about your most influential call, the call that you think, you know, that you can reiterate off the top of your head that you think it gave, like, made an impact on you.
Made an impact on you. Oh, the car accident out in Randolph, Christmas morning. So
make sure we don't do any hippie here. We gotta make sure.
Yeah, I'm going to keep her broad. All right. So going back to the paramedic intercepts, I know you covered 90 and whatever odd miles, but Randolph. 140. There you go. 140 square miles. Randolph. I think they're serviced with the two EMTs or first responder and an EMT.
I think so. Yeah.
All right. I think it was like 3:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, something like that. We heard, they go en route to a male full of blood walking down the highway. And the lady EMT for Randolph EMS, she requested the fire department right away. And we're like, I was listening to the page. And I was like, what the hell? Why is she requesting the fire department? It's just one person walking down the highway. You know, I was like, well, it comes to show that this guy crashed his car into a big electrical pole, one of those high voltage lines. It was a Hispanic dude, two dudes, I think. So they kind of brought in an ambulance. It was cold out this morning. It was like below zero. They're talking to him. They're like, yeah, he crashed his car back there. If it wasn't from that EMT calling the fire department and looking for this dude's vehicle, they both would be dead on the side of the highway. So they rolled up, and there's power lines down on this car. This car's all mangled. It was drifting out. The wind was blowing negative below zero. Shitty conditions. Got on scene, and we're still waiting for the power company guy, Alliant. I think it was Alliant. Just shut off the power, a lineman to come, because we're not touching this car until the power shut off. Normal standard SOPs. But this dude was hanging out the window of the car. We can't touch him. I mean, he's moaning, he's groaning, he's full of blood. I mean, this guy doesn't have long. MedFlight was flying. They were already contacted by Randolph Fire. They set up the landing pad. We're just there. We're observing. Trying to talk to this patient, keep him awake. But in reality, we couldn't do anything for this patient. And that was kind of the shittiest feeling ever, watching this guy die in front of me. Yeah. Watching him. So chopper lands. I mean, we've been watching this dude for 2 hours until Lion got out there. Mind you, this is Christmas morning. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. They're trying to get a lineman guy out the door, but a couple of them got snowed in. Mm-hmm. This guy was coming from probably an hour away, trying to get there as fast as he could. They did a really good job. We can't really blame this on them. It wasn't them.
Yeah.
But watching that dude really put an impact on me. So we got the flight medic, really cool doctor. I mean, he wrote his whole email and sent it to my chief. Just saying how
a good email for once, right?
Yes. A good one. Pretty prone to having not, but a very good email saying how our crew was very good at our job, and that stuck with me. I mean, I want to be like that again. I want to improve my skills as a medic. But short answer, we got this dude in the back. We're working on him. I think, as far as I know, he made a full recovery. And he lost a couple fingers to frostbite, but I mean,
Man.
Just to hear that, flight doc was really proud, and me and my partner.
Yeah.
It was just an awesome feeling. So.
Yeah.
So that one made an impact on me. That one's off the top of my head.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I got like kind of you just said, going off of our intercepts and trauma. I mean, that's all we get. And that's 100% the one that always comes up to my head is, I mean, this was, I think I was like 3 months on. And I mean, I was a baby medic. I mean, I was a medic down in Milwaukee, I said, for a year before I got hired, but for the most part, there wasn't much critical that we got down there. When I was down there, we didn't have much of a 911 service area. So a lot of it was like, there was like a critical transport from hospital to hospital was there. But also I was always paired with a more senior medic. So like I never ran a call. And I was like 3 months on the job. We got toned out for an intercept for a 2-vehicle accident, head-on collision on the highway. We got rolled out there, got toned out. As we were rolling up, there is one DOA. And then they had, I believe two other patients. So three, including the DOA. We got it. And when we got up there, I mean, it was chaos. I mean, there was just, it was absolute chaos, everything there. Like there was stuff there. The one car that hit the truck that hit the car was towing a boat. And they were coming from fishing. There's fucking fish everywhere on the highway. Like there was fish, car parts, like everything. And so my partner currently, our lieutenant, he wasn't a lieutenant at the time. We got there and he turned to me. He's like, hey man, we're gonna have to split. Like, you know, it was just us. You know, we were the only medics, we were with first responders. So we rolled up on scene, we saw the chaos, and he requested we send another ambulance, which we typically don't do for like something like an intercept like that, because that was technically what it was called out. It wasn't like a mutual aid, it was an intercept. But he knew we needed more medics, so we got him rolling. And so we split off. He went to the driver of the truck, and I went to the passenger, which is unfortunately a teenage girl, passenger of the car with the DOA. She was in the street and in the kind of ditch. And you know, we, with the help of the first responders, we got her loaded up, got her right inside the ambulance. But I remember assessing her, and in my brain, I was like, you know, she needs a tube. It's like, she needs a tube. She needs to be RSI'd. Like there's something going on here. And I'm sitting in the back. I got like three first responders with me, and it's me. And I'm like,
you're making the calls, man. You're like making the calls.
And like I can't RSI without another medic. So like I knew I couldn't do that right now, but I'm like, I need to get everything set up. I'm like, this is what I need to do. And I just remember now, you know, this is Captain Yankee, Wes, who we'll have later on in the show. He was off duty and came by to help, bless his soul. Roughly, I think the other ambulance arrived like maybe 2 minutes afterwards. So, you know, we had a really good response time, but it was a relief. Literally fucking like, oh, he's gonna hate this, but fucking Jesus moment. Like the back doors of the ambulance open and it's just Captain Yankee's face, and I'm like, oh my God. Like, oh, I heard the fire of angels. Like,
so he has like shining light on him.
No, I told him, but I kind of rattled off. I'm like, hey, this is what I got for Vita. I was like, I think she needs a tube. And I remember he just hopped in, he's like, let's do it, man. And like I had everything set up. We went through, had everything set up. We had already instantly called for flight. And like, you know, another Jesus moment, the back doors opened and flight was there. And I just remember that flight doc came up to next to me through the side door. And I'm sitting there, the door opens, and I've got tube in hand, got the scope in hand, tube and scope in hand, and they're like got the automatic ready to push. And I like turn to doc and I'm like, so we're gonna innovate, like, and he's like, all right, man, like, go on. And so like then this was my first tube too, my first field tube, first field RSI tube call and run. I'm like, fuck it. And And so literally they push all the drugs, get everything loaded, do the tube, doc's over my shoulder. He's like talking me through basically just encouragement. Like it was fantastic. I mean, it was a really, really easy tube. And I saw the cords right away and it was like, yep, there you are. You know, you're good. You're right there. Puts it in, passed it, got it all secured up and, you know, got her loaded up, flown out to her trauma center. And it took a while, but she did make a full recovery. Awesome. And so like that just like 16th first times thrown into one. And I mean, just the trust with the senior firefighter, like I said, now we're a lieutenant, but the trust that the senior firefighter had in me in splitting at 3 months on the job, knowing young medic, but knowing that we need our to split our services, that kind of panic turned into focus of like, it's just me in the back here. Like
I have to know my shit now.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And then just that the feeling of relief having, you know, that help up there, and those kind of words of encouragement and those confidence. I mean, like I said, you know, when Captain Yaki hopped him back, I mean, he didn't question a single thing. I rattled off everything going on. I told him my plan and he's like, yep. He's like, sounds good, man. He's like, let's do this. Let me know what you need. And that's just like, all right, like I got this. I know this. I got this going. Then doc with the same thing. I mean, I think I offered him the tube. Like, I think I was like, do you want to do this? Like, I was like, I don't know how this runs. Like a doc just showed up and like, am I supposed to give it to him? Like, what am I supposed to do here? And he was like, no, he's like, you're in the position. He's like, you know what's going on. He's like, just go ahead and do it. I'll be right here. And so just, you know, that words of encouragement, that confidence, it was such like refreshing and good to hear being right. A young person in like a holy shit situation.
It builds confidence.
Yeah. But I mean, it just, so many things came from that. I mean, you know, right away knowing there's a big push in it, but you know, knowing you got these traumatic calls, we're going to see some traumatic shit.
Right.
Like debriefs, talking to your crew, having an outlet, like they're all so important things. And
that's very important.
Having that happen so early was like such a good reminder of that. I mean, like you know that you're taught that going in school, everybody's like, oh, you got to talk to somebody if you start, you know, feeling stuff, but like
never lived it before.
Exactly. And seeing the stuff that was put in place, like our department does a fantastic job with encouraging people to go to debriefs or, you know, paying the overtime, whatever is needed, like having that where you got that there, but then, I mean, it's all on you when you get home. How do you take it out? How do you get those outlets? Do you play COD with your coworkers and your lieutenant and get some Warzone dubs like we do? Yeah. Or, you know, what do you do? What's your healthy way to get out there? You got to find that. You got to know that. You know, just reach out to both of your families, all your families, whatever it is, and figure out that perfect way that you got to do. And
yeah, just, don't bury it.
Yeah, it was so many things crammed into one that I just remember the rest. I don't remember what we did the rest of that shift. Like I still, when I think back of that day, that incident lasted 24 hours in my mind.
I don't know what I did this morning.
Like I can remember everything about that incident, but it lasted 24 hours because it was just one thing after another. And I remember just when I got back to the station, it was like you were just reliving it. Like, could I have done anything better? And you know, after the debrief, talking with my senior firefighter, now my lieutenant, everything like. We did a great job. I'm so proud of all of us there. Everybody involved in that call. Like it was fantastic. Couldn't have done any better. And you know, we got to save a little girl's life. So it's great. It's why we do this shit. I mean,
great feeling.
I mean, I'll guess, you know, we'll bring this right into, since it's a kitchen table, do a little bit of bullshit in here. One of my buddies, my girlfriend's brother-in-law, he knows a couple firefighters. He's not in the fire service, but he knows them. He's really interested about it. And he talks about like the people that wish for fires, right? You know, when you hear that as an outsider or sometimes as senior members, you hear about that young guy that's like, oh man, we need a fire. And there's two responses to that. You know, you either get the, why are you wishing for somebody's house to burn? Or you know, we got to get something. The way that I always have related that is like, we know as much as you can believe in what you believe, but we know that wishing isn't going to make that happen. Right. We know I say right now, I wish my neighbor's apartment is going to burst into flames. Like if you guys hear the smoke alarms in 2 minutes, like then, you know, you mean knows I'm God and I'm not going to be doing this anymore because I'm going to go wish for $1 million. But like that's not going to change anything. That's not going to change it. But when you wish for something like that, what you're really saying is I want to use my skills.
Exactly.
Like, I relate to the Super Bowl. You know, you got NFL players. They're practicing. They're playing games. They're grinding to get to that Super Bowl. That Super Bowl never comes. How's that going to feel for your crews? Like, if you're practicing, you're training day in, day out. You want to show your skills, but you never get the opportunity. Like, yeah, that sucks. You want to stay fresh. You want to stay home. You want to see if this stuff that you're training really works, really means it. And that's kind of how I relate to it. Cause I know I've said, I know we've said, you know, we wish for fires and shit. But mostly that's when we're on our 18th bullshit EMS call, or, you know, four back to back from 4 AM, like this morning, Jesus Christ. But like, there can be such misconceptions in the fire service of what like one saint means, what one people means. And I think as a whole, we just got to look at the bigger picture and look at the individual better and be like, you know, okay, do they really mean that? You know, are they really here sitting here praying for a fire? Do they really think that their house is going to light up in flames because of this? Or are they just so excited to use the skills that they've been learning that they want to get out there?
And every fire, we learn something from it.
Exactly. Oh my God.
I mean, I learned every fire I went to, I picked four things up that I learned.
Yeah.
Or got better. Or did worse. I failed. Sure, and now for the next fire, I have to improve that skill so I don't mess it up, you know, another fire. Improving. I mean, every fire and even EMS call, I mean, we learn.
Yeah.
You learn. Don't be afraid to fail because failing is your bigger.
We just had that conversation. Yeah, no, that's a huge thing and failing training, right? That's why it's so important to train. It's failing training, right?
Right.
Die in training, not in real life. Don't actually die. You know, you can't die in training in this job, but like fake die in training, not in real life. Like if there's going to be anywhere that you're going to fuck something up that's going to get you killed in a real life situation, make it be in training, right? That's where we want to iron that shit out. And yeah. I mean, like you said, EMS, dude, like we hate it, but we love it, right? We hate that 90%. We hate that 90% of the bullshit, but a good EMS call, you know, that's good shit. That's still the same thing. You're still training, that you're showing off those skills and doing that. And, you know, like it or not, that's a main part of the job right now. Like it's not all fires. It's all EMS. Like you're lucky you get fires, but I go to work every day. There's been one shift I've had one call, but I go to work every day and I know for a fact there will be an EMS call.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. Every day I walk in the door, there will be an EMS call. There may not be a fire. There may not be a fire call, but there will be an EMS call. Yep. And that is a guarantee in this job.
We're going to a nursing home.
Yeah.
Or we're going to pick someone off the floor.
Yeah.
So
you got to be proficient in everything. I mean, you know, I know it's a big conversation topic that's been going around of us, you know, we're a fire department and we're kind of losing that fire department focus, where we're a special teams department, right? But I mean, you look at it, that's already what we've always been. Like, you look at the history of the fire service. If people didn't know what the fuck to do, or they were scared, or there was something wrong, they called the fire department. Like, yeah, if somebody was trapped somewhere, they knew we would figure it out. They knew we'd have that critical thinking. All we're doing now is we're putting a label on that. And if you do advertise that you're technical rescue, you know, dive, TEMS, whatever it be, like we are, you've got to be proficient in that as well. You also absolutely have to be proficient in the fire side, and you can't lose touch with that fire side, but you got to be proficient in all aspects of your job.
Yeah. No better said. That was,
yeah. And you get everybody, they've got a passion for something, right? Like I think I like to always kind of explain and give the example of the technical rescue team. I mean, I went to Ropes 1, I got my Ropes 1 and 2, you know, hoping to be involved in the tech rescue team even more in the future, yada, yada. But I love going into the holes. You know, I love going down the harnesses. I love going into the holes. I love retrieving the victims. I love doing all that shit. I don't love rigging. No. I can do rigging, but I don't love it. Our lieutenant, you know, some of the other members on the team, they love rigging. They don't want to go in the holes. So when you've got that, I'm proficient in rigging. I can set up a system if I need to, but my skill set is better used in the hole, retrieving a victim, whatever it be. Like, that's where I really thrive. If you put me on the rigging line, I'm not going to hold the team down, but I know that that's where my skills are better used. And my officer knows, our leaders of the crew knows, like, they know that's where, as a leader, you got to know where your people
are. Yeah, and that comes with training with the crews.
Exactly.
I mean, so everyone knows what your topic is.
Yep. Absolutely.
What you're proficient in.
Yep. What your specialty is.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, I think that comes with everything. We talked about the pumping. We talked about being MPO, driving the aerial, and everything. Like, everybody's got that specialty. And when shit hits the fan, you know, I know that if Brennan's setting up my rigging line, I know I'm going to be fine. Like, I'm not worried about that at all. But if I have the option and shit hits the fan, I'm taking Brennan in the hole with me. Like, right. You know, that's where it comes down to, is you may have, and that's why you always have to be proficient, because with trades, with different times of day, whatever it means, you could have six Brennan and I's that are proficient and best at going in the hole and no rigging people. Well, yeah. Now, you know, somebody's
got to set up the rig.
You got to be able to do the rigging. So
we're having it hard from the yard.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to make sure you've got a baseline skills and everything, but it's okay to get those specialties and get those confidence in there. Cause that's what being an officer and a leader is all about, is utilizing those members and their best abilities.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I told you we'd fill some bullshit. You got more bullshit.
I got tons of it.
You got tons of it. Oh, I know you're full of shit.
Yeah. We had this conversation with Wes, the other day. I'm on the dive team, and I was talking to him. I was like, man, I really want to get my advanced. I want to be the best that I can be. I want to get everything that I need, and furthermore, because I want to be proficient in what I do, even for the fireside. I don't go to all these outside trains just to go. I want to be the best that I can be for that topic.
Absolutely.
To save my brother and sister's life and save my own life so I get home with my family. And that's everything I do. Even the tech rescue team, I want to go to these outside trainings and learn. I want to train. I want to be proficient. That's why I buy all this stuff off duty, just to be proficient at what I do.
Just so you guys are aware, this man, there's pictures on Facebook of him diving in his grandpa's swimming pool.
That was all just a new diver. I was like, man.
Yeah. That's the kind of stuff that you get, is, you know, he went out and he's found ways to practice off duty and in his own free time. So like that's what it takes. This job isn't just that 24 hours.
You have to be dedicated like that.
Yeah. There's going to be times out where I'm not saying you have to spend every waking hour in there, you know, like we talked about, we got families and everything, but there's going to be times where you have to come in for a big fire. You got to come in for a training, like knowing that that's what you signed up for is a huge part of the job. Cause nowadays some people don't, you know, they applied here on a whim. They applied to the fire service on a whim. They saw that, you know, they were taking just a high school diploma and like, oh, how hard could this be? Like, sure. It happens. It's not bad, because some of those people mold into fantastic firefighters that understand that. Some of them you will have everywhere that don't. And that's what happens. That's the name of the game. That's the nature of the beast. So you got to know how to utilize your crew to the best of your ability.
Exactly. It's like, like you so called it, football team, you don't put the worst players out in the field. Mm-hmm. You put the best players out in the field.
Exactly.
And that's how I kind of relate to fire service.
Yep. Absolutely.
Anything else, Bryce?
I don't got any more bullshit. I just got one last four letter word to talk about in big bold letters on our agenda. All right. So it's gonna happen that we're ending every podcast with this saying. But we're gonna give a little backstory of it. Basically, it's gonna be on our logo. You're gonna hear us say it a lot. You've heard us mention it a couple times here, but our shift 3 in Beaver Dam, we've got a little saying. I know there's other places that have it. We actually got a sticker, not like made for us. We bought it off of a website, and they already had it made up, so we know we're not the first to do it. But it applies to everything in the job, and it is just as simple as don't be a shitbag.
Yeah, right on my helmet.
Yep, every one of us on our shift has a sticker on our helmet, the back of our helmet. We've got it on our fridge, a nice big sticker. When we ordered them, they sent us a big one, so we slapped that bitch right on the fridge. And it's a running joke and kind of motivation there. I mean, you know, you're gonna have shit where stuff doesn't go your way, you get in trouble, you're for stuff you don't think, like whatever it may be. There's always stressors that come from the job. And I think we found that the easiest way to do that is when somebody starts getting bitched at, or they do something wrong, or they, whatever it may be, it's a hard day. It's just call them a shitbag. And like, and all good fun is what we mean. Yeah. Like, you know, when we joke around on our shift, we're all there because we trust the hell out of our shift, trust the hell of our department. But it's just, don't be a shitbag. Like, it's if you go into work, you go there every day, and your only thought is don't be a shitbag and stay humble, do work. Like, you're going to be a hell of a firefighter. Like, there's so much. We live with these people for 24 hours a day. Like, a third of our lives are there. There's always going to be drama. There's always going to be rivalries. There's always going to be people getting at it. If you just, you know, it's fine to have those feelings. It's fine to not like somebody. It's fine to be there. But as long as you're not a shitbag about it,
you're good.
You're good, man. You're good. So that's just wanted to talk about it there. Like we said, we've got a logo coming up from Jobtown Graphics. We made sure it's incorporated in that logo as well. So it's going to be in there. But I mean, it's just a fun saying. Like I said, it always brings a smile to your face. I mean, you'll get somebody, you know, when Brennan's yelled at for the 16th time in one shift, because he's a good bag. He walks in the door or whatever, he starts complaining. You listen to him, you know, you listen to their complaints. You make it look like you're actually listening, even if you're not. But
bam. Shit.
Yeah.
Sounds like a
shit bag. Always leads a smile. Oh, it always leads to a smile, you know.
Puts everyone in a good mood.
Yep, puts everyone in a good mood. It's just such a fun thing. It's got such a powerful meaning when you actually apply it, but then when you've got a crew and everybody that you like, you enjoy, and you know you're not actually shitbags, you know, Captain Braunschweig, if you're watching this, and you know, Captain Shitbag, as he likes to say, we're not shitbags, like, you know, we know we're not, and so when we toss that around, it's good fun and kind of keeps it lighthearted, gets you through the tough times that every department, every situation is gonna have. So no, that's definitely how we're ending everyone, is don't be a shitbag.
I love it.
Any last things to add in there, Brennan, before we wrap this first episode up?
No, I think that's all I got for this first one.
All right. Well, we somehow managed to bullshit an hour 20 minutes. So
awesome.
If people actually listen to our bullshit, and that's crazy. If not, hi, Mom. You should probably listen to the whole thing. So hi, Mom. Sorry for the swearing. Yeah, that's what we'll say. Hi, Mom. Sorry for the swearing. All right. Well, we'll see you guys next month with Jeremy Sanders. Can't wait to bring that in there. And yeah, as always, don't be a shitbag.
Don't be a shitbag.